Well, I don't know how many of y'all heard about the plane trip to Guatemala for Laura and Joseph and all the girls. They think they were left here at 3 o'clock in the morning to have a 7 o'clock flight that they, because a light or something wouldn't go off on the door when they shut the cabin of the door, it ended up a 1:30 flight, and then they missed their flight out of Dallas. And what time did they, I think they left Dallas at some, I don't know. Anyway, they finally got there. So they're all there, and so they're there. Any other words, Christy? Everything good? Good deal. Perfect. You'll have some Sunday? Okay. Well, good deal. Good deal. Yeah, I think Joseph was going to build some trusses for another house. They're probably just loving on kids. Lice. All right, so we'll stop them at the door and check them before they come in. All right. Good deal. Good deal. Well, I have a question. I just have to throw this out there. God done anything for anybody that you could say in just a short little thing? God working, doing anything for anybody? While you think about it, I'm going to tell you one. How old is Ethan, right? Is your grandson? Is it Ethan? How old is he? 10. Okay, then my dog's 10 years old, right? Is that what we decided? Well, that's how I figure out. When I want to know how old Poncho is, I go ask Debbie how old is grandson, 10 years old, because they were same age. Anyhow, so I've had this dog for 10 years, right? And this dog has gone with me everywhere. This dog has almost 400,000 miles in a pickup. Okay? So the other day, I put him in the back of the pickup, take off to leave, and the little dummy jumps out of the back of the pickup, and I ran over him with the trailer. So both tires just run over him. So I was like, oh, no. Because I've spent more time with the dog than anybody else except for my wife. So went out. I had a cop ask me one time. He's going to take me to jail. Long story, but I was pulling a trailer. Evidently, you're not supposed to pull because you got to have a commercial license. And it was my pickup with a tandem dually trailer in San Angelo. And he says, anyway, he gave me 13 tickets. Bill, how long were those? The tickets were this long. Bill saw it. I mean, they were that long. Asking $7,000 worth of tickets if they were going to give them all to me. So anyhow, so this guy, he says, well, you got one of two choices. You can either dolly the trailer down and leave because they put a red tag on it so you can't drive it off, or I'm going to take you to the Tom Green County Jail. I said, well, I guess we're going to the Tom Green County Jail because I am not dollying my trailer down and leaving it in downtown San Angelo. It won't be here when I get back. Okay. He said, follow me to the Tom Green County Jail. I said, well, we have one problem. I said, you see that dog sitting there in my truck? I like that dog more than most people. What are you going to do with him? He looked, went over, looked at the dog. Sure enough, there's a dog in the front seat. Went and made a few phone calls and everything. Come back over there and said, Mr. Hillis, all I can tell you is you need to follow me to the Tom Green County Jail. He had a mic on. It was a weights and measures guy. So he had a mic on. I guess they've got to record everything that they say. He said, all I can do is tell you that you've got to follow me to the Tom Green County Jail. So I stepped out of his blazer, shut the door, and he took off. Look at him going, I don't know where the Tom Green County Jail is. So I went over there, checked my load on my trailer, got in my pickup, and came back to Utopia, Texas, and called Bill Schaefer. Said, but anyway, that's where my dog got me out of going to jail one day. So anyway, I like this dog. Well, anyway, back to my story, run over him. This is what God does. I picked the dog up, called Tracy, said, hey, I just run over Poncho. She called the vet. They said, get him here as soon as you can. Took the dog into the vet's office. And they didn't tell me this till the next day. When they looked at him, they said, there's no way that dog's going to live. Well, prayed for him, put it out on the thing. You say, why are you praying for a dog? Because God says that he'll perfect the things that concern me, and that really concerned me. So, prayed for the dog. He is minus one leg now, but he gets along really good, and, you know, he still can jump up in the back of the pickup and stuff. But to that vet told me later, said that dog should not have lived. So don't know what happened. He just turned around and started living. I said, okay, I don't know if God had a thing to do with it, but I'm contributing it to God because, by God, they said he wasn't going to live, and he did. Say amen? Now, anything else? Y'all got something going? All right, I'm going to start preaching here in a minute, and you know we're not going to be here real long after that. So, signing up, huh? All right. When is this walk? And this is a women's walk? Okay. They need to see you? All right. Okay. All right, get your Bible out. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 13. Stick it up there if you can. Because I don't have to put these glasses on if we look at it up there. It was like turning off a light switch, actually, about the last 3 months. They said when you turn 40, said your eyesight will go. Well, I'm long past that. Fixing to be 50 here in a couple of months. But somewhere in the last 3 months, it just went... And now it's so blurry, I can't tell what's going on. 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you such as common to man, but God is faithful. You could quit right there. God is faithful. I want to encourage you, if you haven't seen some things happen, it's just because you're not on God's timeline. You're on your timeline. God's still working on the things that concern you. Don't ever give up. God is faithful. If it's in his word, he'll do it for you. Just hang in there. So God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Before we go any further there, you got to realize, if you are going to walk through temptation, you got to know God's not tempting you. It's not God doing it. You can't walk out of something if you think you're supposed to be there. You won't walk out of something if you think you're supposed to be in it for some reason. And God is not tempting you. If you look at James, go read James 1, I don't know where it is, 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there. It says God cannot tempt you with evil, nor can he be tempted with evil. It's not God doing it, folks. It goes on to say it's you're tempted because of your evil desires. The junk that the world puts in us, or we allow to get in us, that is what the devil uses to tempt us with. And so it's really the things we allow in that gets us in trouble. But it says, so said that to say, if you're going to walk out of a temptation, if you're going to say, no, that's I'm being tempted to do something, and you're going to say, no, I'm going to turn around and go the other way, you got to first know God's not the one who's tempting you, okay? It's not God. He's not putting it on you. He's not trying to lure you in just to test you to find out how good you're going to be this day. That's not the way it works. It says, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. What I want to talk about is the way of escape. How do you escape temptation? And this is really simple. When I get through saying this, you're going to go, I know that. And you do. But the question is, do you do that? Because you can know that all day long, but until you do that, that's when it works. Just go with two different scenarios and tell you a couple of stories of how this, and you can fill in your own story in your life, but these are just stories from my life that I know that how God's worked in my life. But the number one way, the easiest way, when you're being tempted is don't go there. Just don't go. Do you know that you have the ability when you got saved to walk out of temptation? It's in you. If you're a Christian, the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. You have the ability to turn around and walk off. You do. You say, no, I can't. Yes, you can. If you are saved, the Holy Ghost dwells on the inside of you. You can walk out of any temptation that comes your way. Anything. I don't care what it is. Just turn around and walk away. And this one of the stories. When I was stationed in Wijangbu, Korea, with an EOD unit, I'm telling you, those guys, I would, if we're in a firefight, if we are disarming bombs, I would have picked nobody else except for the guys that I trained with and the guys that I was with. But when it come to a moral compass, don't follow them. I mean, that's just the way it was. Love those guys in the sense that if we're out doing our job, they got your back. But when you're not doing your job and they want to go party, don't go. Don't go there. And I asked my wife this, and she, to my amazement, didn't know this term. Wijangbu is north of Seoul, and it's the town. Camp Red Cloud was the military base, and then Wijangbu was right outside Camp Red Cloud. Well, I don't really know any other way to say this, except for outside the gates was debauchery. Okay? Anybody ever heard the Chicken Ranch? The Texas Chicken Ranch. Y'all know what I'm talking about? See there, honey? They all do. Chicken Ranch. You know what the Chicken Ranch is? You know, this was the Asian version of the Chicken Ranch right outside the gate. So when I got there, the first thing everybody wanted to do is say, hey, let's go down into Wijangbu and let's go down to the bar, shoot pool, do whatever. And my answer was no. Because I had ingrained in me, even without anybody preaching to me, that the way out of temptation is don't go there. Don't put yourself in the spot. Make sure you don't put yourself into a compromising position, and then you don't have to. It's really easy not to get in trouble if you just don't go there. But for 14 months, those guys said, hey, look, come on, let's go down there. It's not going to hurt anything. Don't worry, we got your back. And I'm like, you're not my moral compass. I'm not going there because I know what's down there. And the further you get in there, the easier it is to give into whatever it is you're going into. So just stay away from it. And so, but I'm telling you, especially the young ones, they're going to laugh at you, going to tell you, hey, you know, you're not part of the group, all this stuff. But you just have to make a determination on the inside of you that God has made, the way God made for you to escape temptation, number one is don't go there. Just stay away. Stay away from it. I found myself in Seoul one time with, I think it was four or three other guys, myself and three other guys. And we were walking down the streets of Seoul. This isn't in the afternoon. And just walking down there, and four girls came out and grabbed each one of us and tried to drag us over here into the Chicken Ranch spot right over here. Probably not shouldn't be saying this in church, but I mean, this is a good story. My immediate reaction was, because now you're already in the temptation. I mean, you're there. This temptation is manifest and it's happening. So what do? Leave. Just turn around and go. Folks, that is the way of escape God's made for us, because you have that moral compass of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, and you know what's right and wrong. And if you'll turn around and leave as soon as you know what something is wrong, you'll save yourself a whole lot of trouble in life. You will. You'll walk a clean life. And I, because I was able to do that, I was able to come back to my wife and say, honey, never did anything that I can't look you in the eyes and say, I'm not, I mean, I didn't do anything that's going to make me disappointed or make her disappointed in me for those reasons. But you know what? I was there with 21 other guys, and I can only say that for one other one that I know of. And all the rest of them now, and I told Tracy, I can't say names or anything because somehow one of them would get a hold of this, but I'm telling you, that's the way God, when it says make the way of escape, it's that Holy Ghost compass on the inside of you that's there to say, no, that's not a really good idea. But if you find if you find yourself in something, whatever it is, like I said, those are my stories. You can make up, I mean, I'm sure y'all have lived through them. One of the other ones was chewing tobacco. I love the stuff. Still would love it to this day. Quit in 1988 at the Seoul Olympics. Not because I thought it was such a bad deal, and I still don't think it's bad. I don't think chewing tobacco is any worse than lust, than all the other things that you can get into. Eating too much sugar, overeating. It's just something God dealt with me on that I want you to stop. And I think it was more of an obedience thing than anything else. God just said, I want you to stop because I really like the stuff. And that's one thing he said, I want you to give up. So after I did that, for 10 years, anybody walk up to me chewing tobacco, I'd have to leave. Just have to leave because my mouth would start watering, literally. Because if I knew if I stayed there, you know what was going to happen? It was going to be really easy to get right back into that same thing. And it just wasn't going to please God. Not, like I said, I can't even tell you it's a sin, it's wrong or anything else, but it would be for me because God asked me to stop. So, you know, now it's been 1988, 25 years, and I can be around it. And it doesn't bother me that much. But when my mouth starts watering, I turn around and leave. Because it still will every now and then. My son dips Copenhagen, and I dip Copenhagen too, and we'll be riding down the road. And most of the time it doesn't bother me, but sometimes I was like, okay, Michael, get rid of it. Get rid of that right now. What, Dad? Just get rid of it. You get dip when I get out of the truck. See what I'm saying? There's an old saying, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And that's the truth. And it might look real good on the outside, but the end there is death, according to the Bible. That's what's down the road. And you say, well, it might kill me. No, but it may kill a marriage. It may kill relationships. You know, it's all kind of different ways death comes into a situation. And it all starts with this little thing right up here and deciding, no, I'm going to follow Jesus. And when the Holy Ghost says don't go there, you just don't go there. Don't stick your toe out there. Because, you know, the further you get into that temptation, the harder it is to get out. You know why? Because the further you get into it, it throws a hook into your soul. And once you get a hook into your soul, you can still turn around and walk out, but it takes a whole lot more commitment from you to do that. It's a lot more. You take drugs, you know. Once that gets that hook in your soul, God still delivers you. You can still turn around and walk out, but it takes a lot of commitment from you because of that hook that sin has on you. The way the Holy Ghost told me one time is just, Dwayne, he said, my Bible is there to keep you within the bar ditches. Just keep you in the bar ditches. If you get over here, how many of y'all been driving down the road, go to sleep, or dodge that elusive deer everybody talks about? I told my son one time, this is on his second or third truck that he had wrecked. I said, why don't you just run over this elusive deer that keeps running out in front of you and bring him home so I can see him? And he did. I got him hanging on my wall. He said, I got him, Dad. I said, well, is your truck okay? Oh, yeah, yeah. See, that's a whole lot better than running through the fence somewhere. Just run over the thing. We were going to Colorado one time, and Chad was driving. He's probably 16, 17 years old. We're just leaving here. And so I'd always told him, just run over the deer. Just run over it. Don't swerve. Just run over the deer. We got them. That's what we put them big cattle grade things on there for. That's what they're for, to run over deer when they get in your way. So we're driving over there, and we hadn't got 5 miles out of town. And this old doe jumps out in the middle of the road. And Chad moves right over to the center and just keeps running 70. I went, hey, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to center up on her. I said, no, in my truck, when we have half a mile, we stop. That deer's way down there. We got plenty of time to stop. Just one of them things you tell a teenager. That never crossed his mind. Stop. So, anyhow. I don't know how I got there. Like I said, the danger of hanging around sin that you know God's telling you, that you know that moral compass on the inside of you, the danger is that the further you walk down that road, the more commitment it's going to take out of you to get off that road. Where you can just, that's what I was on, keep it between the bar ditches. Have y'all ever been going down the road, driving down the road, and you get over on the side, and you get back over in the middle, and you're going good? That's exactly what the Bible does. It tells you these are your boundaries. These are the boundaries right here that are safe for you in life. And if you get off over here, all there is bar ditches and fences. You say, well, the grass is greener over there. Well, it may be greener over there, but it's through the bar ditch and into the fence. You got to weigh the cost there. Problem is, a lot of Christians, people in general, don't foresee the consequences of what sin will bring until it's too late. And I mean too late by not too late for their soul, not too late for any of that, too late for them to easily get out of what they're doing. Now it takes commitment to get out. Now it's, instead of just going, I ain't going down there, I'm just not going to go. Instead of doing that, now it's a battle with your soul that you've got to wage. And sometimes you even need help. You need people to come along beside you and mentor you and that type of thing to get out of those situations. Well, good thing is, you know what Bruce does on what you got, Tuesday or Thursday night, whichever night it is? You know, stand there because he's been through it. He knows what the end of that road has in store for you. But how many of y'all as teenagers didn't think your parents knew a thing about what they were talking about and you went ahead and did some of those things anyway? Perfect, you do. Yeah, well, I was a good kid. I never did any of that. Well, maybe. Maybe a little. You know, but okay, so now let's look at it. You're still the kid. God's still the dad. He's still sitting here going, look, this is what's good for you right here. And we're still going, no, we know better. We know. We can go do this and it won't get us in trouble. And you used to tell your parents the same thing. And your kids told you the same thing. And it's just an ongoing thing. But it looks like sooner or later we'd smarten up and go, you know, Daddy really does know what he's talking about. I actually had my son tell me that the other day. I wasn't near as dumb as they thought we were. Yeah, it only took them, 27 years, 28 years? I think it happened once kids started, when their kids started coming around. They're like, holy cow. Yeah, so you're 27 and 26. Your mom and I were 18 and 19. We had no clue what we were doing. So, anyway. Just turn around and walk off. That's you feel you know what's wrong, just turn around and get out of the situation. It's the best way to do it. That's the most effective way for God to get you, when it says that make a way of escape, that's the most effective way of escape that you've got, is to turn around and walk off. and you're going to get laughed at. How many of y'all, when you got saved, or when you decided, even if it's after you got saved, when you decided, no, I'm going to live this Christian walk, you had to turn around and walk away from some of the friends that you were hanging around with? Why? Because if you stay there, they're going to drag you down. We used to do this with the teenagers, but if we put somebody down there and me right here and have a tug of war, who's going to win? The one down there, because it's a whole lot easier to drag me down than it is for me to drag him up. And that's just the way it is. It's a lot easier for bad influences to drag you down than it is for you to drag people up, because most of the time, the people you're wanting to drag up don't want to come up. They are anchored right down there. It's like trying to pull a boat anchor up. It's true. It really is. Amen. Well, I'm done. You got to, offering.